TV show that my sons like to watch called Pardon the Interruption, where they have two sports announcers and they debate certain topics in fairly short order. They have a clock. They're interrupting each other for the whole time. It's called Pardon the Interruption, or PTI. Today we're going to do PTITJ, where...
I'm really not in favor of this. You're suggesting that we're going to reduce questions of liberty and justice and the nature of our Constitution and the purposes of our revolution to 30-second bites.
Yep. Welcome to Drive Time Radio, dude.
You're the first who ever called me dude.
Guns. Should everybody be allowed to own a gun?
Yes, the Second Amendment clearly states in unmistakable language that the American people have a reserved natural right to have weapons. I believe a free man is a man with a gun.
Mm. That's good, but a criminal man has a gun too.
Then you should arrest him.
It was great that you guys had guns because you were able to overthrow the government, but I don't think most of us are arming ourselves because we're going to storm D.C. Most of us are arming ourselves for other reasons, and sometimes the guns are used badly.
Of course, guns will be used badly. That's something that you ought to be thoughtful about. You ought to educate people into proper gun safety and to explain the purposes of revolution to them so that they use guns strategically. There are two reasons why we need guns. Number one is that I have a natural right to protect my home, my property, and my family. And if you come through the door to bring mayhem to my world, I have a right of self-defense. Now, I can entrust some of that to my community, to the police force and the judicial branch of government. But as everyone in this room knows, you can't guarantee that they will respond when that moment happens. And so you have a sacred natural right to protect yourself. And if that person has a gun and you don't, you put yourself in an extremely vulnerable position. And secondly, and more importantly, government must never have a monopoly on the uses of force. You must, under extreme conditions, be able to bring down your government from time to time.
Sometimes we forget you're a revolutionary.
Well, the revolution, when Lafayette wrote me a lugubrious letter about the Reign of Terror in France and how many of his friends had been beheaded and their property confiscated and so on, I understood why that was a horrible thing, because these were, many of them, innocent aristocrats going about their business, and they had sort of gotten caught up in the revolutionary moment. And there were, there's a rough justice. It's not very focused when mobs begin to take control of a culture. But he wrote me this letter about how horrible this all was, and I wrote back a relatively firm letter to him. I said, did you expect to be transported from despotism to liberty on a feather bed? There's a certain blood that has to be at the center of human freedom, and if you renounce blood, if you say there's no condition under which I would shoot the mayor, then you can't be free.
Sorry, we'll edit that from the broadcast. Doesn't leave this room.
So you would prefer a sanctified, gauzy revolution in which people just debate their liberties?
Well, I thought the Constitution fixed it. I thought that when we're unhappy with the government, we, amend the Constitution or get new politicians.
Well, I think the question that I would ask this group, and I mean it sincerely, it's not a rhetorical question, is do you think in the year 2006 that at the state, local, and national level, that your will as a self-governing people is distilled into intelligent and enlightened legislation? And if not, you should either throw the rascals out or drive them out with pitchforks.
We will also be selling pitchforks in the lobby after the show.
Well, a pitchfork is an agricultural implement. It's used to help feed people. It's extremely important.
No, I know. I was just joking.
But to use it as a revolutionary tool is not a bad thing. Every government begins to become insensitive, to waste our tax monies, to believe that it knows more than we do about what's good for us, to spend recklessly, to engage in foreign adventures or domestic despotisms of one sort or another, and we find ourselves as citizens bewildered, and we think, is it just me, or is my sense that this culture has gone radically wrong?
Yeah.
And then you write a letter to your senator, or you write a letter to the governor asking for clarification, and you get back some completely off-putting sort of thing, at some point, if you take your pitchfork into the public arena and stab that senator, he begins to pay attention to you. I'm quite serious. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. That is its natural manure.
Thank you. Does power corrupt? Does absolute power corrupt? Absolutely. So anybody who's going to be the mayor, the governor, the president is inclined then to probably fail us just because of the position.
Well, I think you've overstated it. I think if we educate well and if we select the right people, that they can show great virtue. I would say James Madison is as virtuous a man as ever held public office in the world. I would put George Washington extremely high. So there are people who can do this, but it takes enormous self-restraint and a moral sense and a deep Commonwealth commitment. Normally you're going to get somebody else, John Adams, Andrew Jackson, some not bad but not sterling sort of human being. That's why we have restraints on power. We have checks and balances. The only way you can be free is to watch people of power with eternal vigilance. Anyone who has power in the economy, in the political sphere, in the social sphere, in the arts, you must scrutinize them at every second because that power will inevitably intoxicate them. And your role is to check them from becoming irrational or illiberal or worse, dictatorial. And if you fall asleep, of course they will take advantage of that to take up the slack and become more powerful.
Debates. Did you debate when you ever run
never.
For office?
No, never.
Should an incumbent debate?
Yes.
But you did not?
No.
Did your opponent ask for a debate?
No. And Adams and I could never have debated. I would be speaking in these sort of serene tones, and he would be saying awful ad hominem, earthy things. He couldn't debate. A debate occurs between people who have a code of engagement, just as a duel occurs between people who share a commitment to certain rituals of the duel. You have to be committed to the debate. And if you're not, if one is going to hold up a picture of a squirrel, then there isn't a sufficient levelness of discourse to create honest exchange.
But our Chicago Tribune today editorialized, "Yoo-hoo, Governor Blagojevich." And it's an editorial saying, "Sir, you have to answer some questions on the eve of the election." Some of those questions might have been borne out if he would debate his opponent, but the governor doesn't seem to want to. I think that people have a right to know what the answer either is to the newspaper's questions or to the opponent's questions. Don't you agree?
Of course, but if it's not required under your law, in other words, if a debate is a voluntary thing,
it is.
The governor is within his right to say he doesn't want to do it. Then you're within your right to retire him from public life.
Yeah. All right, new question. What's with the wig?
I tended to wear my own hair. I had reddish, sandy hair, and I would wear it like this, swept over the top of my head and tied in a queue. That was the common gentleman's hairdo in our time. I wore wigs in Europe because it was important as an American diplomat that I dress like the European diplomatic corps. I never liked it. I think it's silly and pretentious. It's an affectation. Wealthy people wore wigs and working people didn't. Wealthy people wore breeches and working people wore pants. I like a more equalitarian style. I call people citizen rather than doctor, Mr. or Mrs. because I think we should get rid of these terms of social distinction and we should have an equal. We should try. We aren't equal. We're born equal. We don't stay equal. One's beautiful, one's strong, one's talented, we have a range of capacities in life, but we're born equal. And it's in our interest as a society to maintain as much social equality as we possibly can. So you wear a wig, I'm saying to you, I'm rich, you're not. I'm privileged, you're not. The reason that people wore wigs was partly that. There was also a hygiene issue. We didn't bathe in the 18th century. People would bathe once or twice a year, literally. And therefore, people didn't wash their hair. And if you didn't wash your hair for 6 months, you can imagine. So what men and women did was to crop their hair very short, And then they would wear a wig, and the wig could be taken off and fumigated and brushed.
Fumigated literally?
Well, we had lice, and you know, it was a very different world in the 18th century. And I don't mean any disrespect to the people here, but if this same crowd were here in the year 1790, the smell of this room would be overpowering. And that's why gentlemen took snuff. If I were a gentleman and you were a gentleman, we'd each have a snuff box right now, and we'd pull it out. It'd be like a Sucretz box in your time. Pull it out, there'd be a little perfume powder. I'd inhale that into my nose. It had no drug effect, but it overwhelmed your nose so that I couldn't smell you.
Well, then you just should have taken a bath. If you had some soap, and it would work.
We hadn't thought of that. and in some places, it was thought that a complete immersion was not good for one's health. So we didn't really make the connection that germs were spread. We didn't have an understanding of epidemiology, so we didn't know that you spread disease through contact, through breath, through physical contact. Doctors did not wash their hands before they treated patients. There was no antibiotic. You know, 4 of my 6 children died before they were 7 years old of infant diseases that would be handled in the merest clinic in your time.